Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the day after the debate in Nashville, and we're going to be talking about it in just a moment. So get your phone calls in and let's analyze what we heard and saw last night. Our on-air number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I'm here today with Rhonda Fanning, producer of our program. It's our fall membership drive, as you know, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio and asking you to make your pledge of support right now at WPR.org, WPR.org, or toll free at 888-202-2552. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen. This hour, we have a goal of $3,000. Meeting that goal will help us make this program possible in the months to come. Won't you be the first to donate this hour to Kathleen's programming, bringing you all this political analysis in this very important election season? Make your pledge now online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
I love the last question, which I'm afraid nobody answered last night in the debate. What don't you know and how will you learn it? And I've worked here so long and I learned so many things that I immediately thought, public radio, Wisconsin Public Radio. That should be the answer to this. We learn so much all the time and we get to share our responses to all kinds of things that are going on this very exciting political season, which started so long ago. And I think that Rhonda's done a terrific job of bringing you top-notch guests, and we've had a chance to analyze what we've heard. And if that kind of programming is important to you, and I anticipate hearing from many of you about the debate, won't you call and give us some support? We need your support to keep doing what we do all the time here, every day. Again, our pledge number, 888-202-2552. It makes this program possible. And you can also pledge online at WPR.org because one of our most important sources is you, the listener.
That's right. I don't know if many people know that, but our listeners provide one-third of our budget. And the overall, like, WPR community, we also have communities of political junkies out there that listen to the show, communities of book lovers, communities. It's a community of learning each and every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. But we need you to keep this going. Today, we're asking you to help support the programming that you hear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's a lot of things that go into making that happen, and you can help that by getting online at WPR.org or calling toll-free 888-202-2552. It won't take long, and it'll do a world of good.
And it's an important decision for you to make if you'd like to be a listener or a listener contributor. Again, you just go to WPR.org. You fill in a very simple form, and you'll be done. Or call 888-202-2552.
That's right. Again, and our goal this hour is $3,000. So won't you pledge and support these types of shows that you hear throughout this long election campaign, through the long primary season, and now leading up until November? We have been with you a constant
companion. Oh, have we ever.
analyzing everything, the debates. So we will let the show get started and let's
talk
about the debates. Thank you.
We're going to talk about the debates for the remainder of this hour. We all watched. I took a lot of notes last night and we're interested in hearing your response to the debate. Most of the people I've talked to just in the course of the day, and it's still early, I haven't talked to a lot of people, but a lot of people thought that it was not a very interesting debate. We will ask our guest what he thought of the debate and ask you what you thought of the debate. David Fott is joining us, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And again, our on-air phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Professor David Fott, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm happy to be with you.
Did you hear anything new last night?
Certainly, Senator McCain's proposal to have the Treasury buy up bad mortgages was new. He had not proposed that before. Other than that, not much really.
That's what I was thinking. I was watching it, and I think I've watched everything you could possibly watch for a long time now. But it seemed as though I was hearing a lot of the same phrases from both of the candidates, either during their nomination speeches or during their convention speeches. Maybe it's gone on so long now that they're just repeating what their standard words are.
Yes. I too took some notes, and as I was listening to the questions and the candidates' answers, I was developing the impression that they weren't answering the questions to a great extent. I looked back at my notes and discovered that in most of the answers, there was some sort of direct response to the question, but the candidates spent so much of the time making jabs at each other that it appeared that they weren't really answering the questions when, to some extent at least, they were. But there were missed opportunities on both sides, and I thought the debate was pretty even. But to give one example of the missed opportunities, the candidates were asked, what sacrifices will you ask of all Americans?
Right.
Senator McCain responded first, and he said he people have to understand that we must eliminate bad government programs. Senator Obama went second, and he said that Americans must think about how we use energy. So the sacrifices are understanding and thinking, right? Mental activity. And that's a far cry from ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do
right.
for your country.
And you're absolutely right. I thought they each could have come up with a list. I remember some of the proposals in the past have not been popular, like turn off your Christmas lights from Richard
right.
Nixon some years ago. But this is a time when people are worried about their money. They're worried about energy. And it would have been an opportune moment for each of them to really come up with a list. Here's what you can do tonight. Turn down your thermostat or whatever the specific list may be. It would have been a very interesting response if we had had specifics.
Right, right. And I'm afraid that the candidates are told by their advisors to be general, that they are prompted on all of the jabs that they have to get in at their opponents, that they end up looking a bit robotic. Whereas my theory, which I would love to see tested, is that a candidate who put all of that aside and who actually devoted his mental effort to giving thoughtful answers to the questions asked would see an increase in popular support, maybe a temporary increase, but an increase in popular support. I may never have the chance to see that theory tested with the influence that consultants have in the election.
Right. You talk about they're jabbing each other. I thought last night was pretty tame compared to what we're hearing on the campaign trail. Some of the jabs have become extremely vicious, and I would have to say I think it's more from the McCain camp in terms of this ties with terrorists, loose association. It has dominated the news since Sarah Palin's been on the stump talking about this again and again. It seems to me as though it's a little bit off mark when we're suffering economically and people are looking, as you could tell from the questions from the audience, about substantial answers to economic questions. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, don't you think?
I agree. Certainly there was none of that from Senator McCain. It's interesting that he has allowed Governor Palin to make that sort of charge. The television ads so far have been a mixed bag, and there was, I have to say, I think you're right about the charge coming more from the Republican side these days, but before that, there was the television ad that Senator Obama ran in which he seemed to lump together Senator McCain's inadequacy on substantive issues with his inability to send an email, which I found to be a rather bizarre ad and perhaps unfair as well, but yes, the charges that are being raised now and made especially by Governor Palin do seem to take the campaign to a different level, and you do see Senator Obama countering by beginning to bring up the Keating Five
right.
scandal.
Let's get a response to. I was reading through some comments on the internet this morning. This one from a political scientist at the University of Wisconsin who's been on our air frequently, Ken Goldstein, who said, with the fundamental advantages that Democrats enjoy this year, this election has always been about Barack Obama reaching a threshold level of credibility with voters, making swing voters in swing states comfortable with him being president. That process, he says, seems to have started in the last 10 days. We can talk about who won on points on particular questions and McCain's performance, but Obama continued to make the argument that he is a credible president with his debate performance. Also, I have to say, these debates are beginning to drag a good baseball game that has gone a couple innings too long.
Well, being a baseball fan myself, I'm not sure I would agree with that. If it's a good baseball game, I'm not sure there is such a thing as too long, but other than that, yes, there's a lot of sense in that.
Mm-hmm. And what about this idea that Obama needs to show himself as presidential? And a lot of people are saying, swing voters are saying, that he is showing us that in these debates. Is he?
He seems to be. If you look at the polls, it's always hard to know how much stock to put in polls, how to read them. But if you look at the polls just within this state, within Nevada, which is one of the few swing states, toss-up states, you see McCain's support holding pretty steady, around 45%. But you see Obama, since August, going up from the high 30s to around 50%. Which means one of two things, it seems to me. Either people are getting to know more about Obama, they're putting him to the test and they're liking what they see, or the economic conditions are becoming so bad that anybody with a Democrat, with a D next to his name, is going to get their support.
Let's go to phone calls. Our lines are jammed. People who watch the debate and want to talk about this. Our guest is Professor David Fott, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And we start our calls with, and our number on air is 800-486-8655. Barbara from Johnson Creek. Hi, Barbara.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I guess I was more struck by something that did not occur during the debate, but occurred after the debate, after they were on stage, while Barack Obama offered his hand to John McCain, and John McCain deferred it and instead directed it towards his wife, Cindy, and then when Barack was shaking Cindy's hand, John McCain turned and walked away.
Hmm.
And I thought, can we really trust the leader of the free world who cannot mask his contempt even long enough to shake hand on a debate stage?
Hmm. I think I went for the brownies at that point, so in the room, so I don't think I saw that. Did you see that, Professor Fott?
I did not.
Huh.
I didn't see any mention of it. I just thought it was clearly that John McCain cannot mask his contempt for Barack Obama. That's why his first response was an attack on Barack Obama, and it set the tone for the campaign, which has been the tone for the entire campaign. It's unfathomable to me that we could elect a president who can't even begin to mask his contempt for 5 minutes.
Thanks, Barbara, for the call. Do you see contempt coming from McCain, Professor Fott?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't deny what the caller said, but I don't know that I've seen evidence to confirm it myself. It will be interesting to see whether Senator McCain begins to make some of these charges himself that he has been leaving to Governor Palin. If he does believe the substance of these charges, the allegations about William Ayers, I would think that he would make the charge himself, that he would not hesitate to do it. And the fact that he's not making the charge himself almost seems to suggest to me that he doesn't put a lot of stock in it.
Let's go to Jim next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I saw the same thing that the lady saw. I definitely agree with her on that. The point I want to make about an analogy to the Republicans is that a Republican voter reminds me of Pavlov's dog, because they... When the bell rings, they salivate. And And, you know, of course, with Pavlov's dog, they fed the animal, and every time they fed him, they rang the bell, and they just got them accustomed to that type of reaction. And I think that's the kind of reaction that they evoke from the Republican base when they talk about issues of that we should be scared, we should be afraid, we should be concerned about national security. There's a bumper sticker out. I'll give two examples of this. One is a bumper sticker out that shows, it says McCain, I don't remember the words, but there's a picture of McCain with an American flag on the bumper sticker, and then there's a picture of Obama with a white flag. And yet, who seriously would think that Obama is going to surrender on anything? The other example is this Ayers situation. And, you know, it has no resemblance to anything that's going on in the current world. Ayers is not under arrest or under suspicion for anything currently. So how does Obama relate to that? It's like with me. I worked in the prison system with a guard who would refer to Arabs as sand N-word. But that doesn't make me a racist, or the fact that I have a middle name of Coolidge doesn't make me a Republican currently. So, you know, these diversions, people are they just gear people into to reflexively respond to them, but they don't have anything to do with reality.
Professor Fott.
Well, I think it's no accident that that these appeals, such as the one involving Ayers, are coming at a time when the polls show a widening lead for Senator Obama, and it does appear to be very much desperation on the part of Republicans.
Let's talk before we go back to phone calls. Thanks, Jim, so much for your call about health care, which my feeling from doing a lot of programs on this for a long time is that it really is a bipartisan issue, that a lot of people can't pay their premiums and businesses are hurting from this. It seems as though the candidates do have very different positions on health care in this country. Do you think they talked enough about their plans last night so that voters have a clear understanding of what they propose?
Well, they were asked a general question. Would you call it a philosophical question?
Yes.
Should health care be treated as a commodity?
Mm-hmm.
And in their initial responses, neither one answered that question.
No, they didn't.
And they were more concerned to hit the other man. When Tom Brokaw asked a follow-up question, should health care be a privilege, a right, or a responsibility, there you saw some some general difference come out. As Senator McCain said, it's a responsibility, but we don't want any mandates. And Senator Obama said, it's a right, and began to talk about his mother,
mm-hmm.
The situation with his mother. Now, how that translates into practical policies, well, there's a difference in those policies. It's possible or even likely from the little bit I've seen that each candidate distorted the other's policies to an extent, or at least didn't give the full picture. Well, that wouldn't be too surprising, I guess. So listeners who are really interested in this should dig for more information on all of the details of the two candidates' plans.
More phone calls for our guest in a moment. We're responding to last night's second presidential debate. Our guest is Professor David Fott. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And our lines are all busy. I love the fact they're busy and that you follow this so closely. But when somebody hangs up, you'll be able to get through. Our 800-486-8655 is the number for you to call. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Response to the presidential debate last night is what's on the table this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number, and let's go to Philip from Algoma. Hi, Philip.
Hi. I got two things, because I didn't get to watch the debate, but I got to hear a lot about it. Okay, they say Barack Obama is a good speaker, good debater, but at 3.5 years as a representative or a senator, you know, how did he even make it that far? And the other thing is they always talk about their plans. okay, then what's the chance of their plans actually being put into effect? Because everybody has a big plan, but, I mean, long-term, he said long-term is health care. Well, health care was back in the Clinton administration, and I think even further back. So what's, is there actually going to be any change? Because there hasn't been, seemed to be change in the last 10, 16 years, mm-hmm. whatever.
And who are you, if you don't mind saying, who are you leaning toward right now, Philip?
Right now, I'm kind of leaning towards McCain because he has the experience. And I know even though Bush won last time, if you talk with members of the service, they prefer, they like to see somebody who's actually served, you know?
All right. Thanks for your call, Professor Fott.
Well, you ask about the possibility of putting these plans in, into effect. We're likely to face a greater Democratic majorities in both houses of Congress and a Republican president if McCain is elected. So that is a recipe for gridlock to some extent, particularly when you talk about something that involves the fundamental change that McCain's health care plan proposes. If Senator Obama is elected, then you have one-party control, and you might think that a lot more would be done. But we have a huge financial crisis on our hands.
Right.
That is, that we're talking about spending as much as $700 billion on, and that could, that that would curtail spending on other matters for any president who cares at all about, and Congress who care at all about the budget. Granted, neither candidate will say very much about what spending he would suggest cutting as a result of this.
It's going to be a tough time, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. And we don't know that this bailout program, call it whatever you will, that Congress has just approved is going to solve the problem. Judging from the financial markets so far, it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Senator McCain's proposal, which actually, from what I hear, goes all the way back to the Depression era, would try to get to at least one of the root causes of this, which is the housing prices. So if you, if the government eats part of the cost of a bad mortgage, then you can try to stabilize housing prices. But the authority exists in the bailout that Congress approved. But I think the newness of the McCain proposal is in the specificity.
Right. Let's go next. Thanks very much, Philip, for your call. Let's go to Barbara from Edgerton. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, you're welcome.
My opinion on yesterday's debate is that Senator McCain reminded me a little bit of my elderly mother. No matter what you ask her, she tells me the same story. I mean, he is just, how long can he be repeating that he is a veteran, that he was in the war? I mean, there's so many veterans, so many people that were in the war, so many people that were in prison. That does not qualify them to be the president. And what he chose as a vice president, that's another story.
Well, does your mother have a good story? Can you repeat a good story?
My mother has stories that to write a book.
It's
the same thing over and over and over and over. I mean, you have to come up with some. In my opinion, there is no comparison. Obama has the presence, command of the language. He presents himself very well. He is eloquent. I mean, there is no comparison, no comparison. And God forbid, if something happened to McCain, what would we have in a president?
Thanks, Barbara, for your call. Professor Fott?
Well, I think both candidates are concerned to tell their life stories to some extent. In Senator McCain's defense, something in me, maybe it's the teacher that makes me play the devil's advocate to some extent, but if I had been in, if I'd been a POW for, what, 5.5 years, and I were running for office, I would be hard-pressed not to mention that more than Senator McCain does. But both candidates, to some extent, feel the pressure to say something about their life story. And that's part of what we should be doing, is reading their biographies. And certainly each man has written not one but two autobiographies, so there's plenty out there. And getting some sense of the kind of men that they are, the kind of judgment that they have, how they would be likely to go, be likely to make decisions. So that biographical information is very relevant, something we should pay serious attention to. It does reach a point sometime where there is a lot of repetition.
Right. But maybe that's people who listen to public radio and people like you and me who love this and follow this and have heard almost every word. Maybe we're in a real minority. So we've heard these stories over and over again, and we say, please say something new. And we can fill in the blank when each candidate starts with a certain line. You know exactly what they're going to say because you've heard it over and over. But a lot of people haven't, maybe. What do you think?
I think you're right. And some people are only starting to pay attention.
Isn't,
you're right.
That's hard to believe. We've been at it a long time, and it's been fascinating. We are in a conversation about last night's debate and welcoming your phone calls. Barbara, thanks very much. Maybe your mom will have a new story today, I hope. And if you'd like to join us on air, the number is 486-8655, 800-486-8655. I hope those of you who have called, when we get into these discussions, our phone lines are jammed, so I hope you'll just go from one line to another and make a pledge to let us continue the kind of political coverage that we give you, and it's just superb, I believe. It's not to be surpassed. Make your pledge at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, is joining me in our studio. And Rhonda, hello once again.
Hello. We have a goal this hour of $3,000, and we have about $2,500 yet to go. So won't you be the next pledge? Your pledge will help us reach that goal and stay on track financially. Make your pledge now, securely online at WPR.org, or call toll-free 888-202-2552.
And we, of course, cover state, national, and international issues. We've been covering these campaigns for a long period of time, and if you listen regularly, you know that we've given you valuable access to all kinds of analysts to look at the presidential campaign and all the issues that we're looking at, and they're important issues. What you don't know, how will you learn it? I love that question last night. It was just one of those wonderful philosophical questions, and the way you learn it is to listen to us. It's pretty valuable. 888-202-2552. Please call and give us your support. If you'd like to go online, do that at WPR.org, WPR.org, and listen to many, many great viewpoints.
That's right. As Kathleen was saying, the coverage at Wisconsin Public Radio, it's substantial coverage of the issues, not just rhetoric. And in such a variety of topics, like our caller Barbara was joking around about hearing the same stories over and over and over again. Not on Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going to give you a variety, not just in the topics, but in the viewpoints and guests that you hear here each and every day. So won't you pledge and support this type of programming? Log on at WPR.org or give us a call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio, one of the easiest things that you'll do today, all you have to do is log on at WPR.org. www.thebaytribune.org and fill in the form. It'll be very, very easy. Or call 888-202-2552. And in about 3 minutes, you will have done your part. Go to WPR.org or call 202-2552 with your pledge, and you'll be set for the year. And you know, just think of all that we've been through together with covering these elections. So please, and call and express your support for this kind of talk program. It's great. It's great. I think it's great. Do you think it's great? It's great.
If you do, if you've been listening and thinking that it's great and not pledging, maybe now is your time.
Yeah.
Maybe this hour is your time, and you'll help us reach that $3,000 goal. We're still about $2,500 away. So pick up the phone. Give us a call at 888-202-2552. Or if you don't happen to be around a phone right now, but you're around a computer, log on to WPR.org and pledge that way, safe and securely online. It'll take you just a few minutes, and then you can be on with your day and on talking about the debate last night.
Listeners like you provide the most significant part of our funding. That's it. You pay for what you value. Contribute at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and help us reach our goal of $3,000. Thanks very, very much, Rhonda.
Thank you.
We're talking about last night's debate this hour of our program with Professor David Fott, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And Muhammad from Madison is our next caller. Hi, Muhammad.
Hi, Kathleen. Excuse me. Yes, if I watch the debate, and if I can use a boxing analogy, John McCain sort of came out like Joe Frazier and Barack Obama did the rope-a-dope. I mean, I didn't see, you know, anything different than what I would have expected. I don't think anything came through. They just seemed like they both played it very safe and were who they are.
Hmm.
But my question to your guest is, you asked him a question earlier, I think, regarding John McCain's, to me, and some other people that I've listened to, obvious disdain for Barack Obama. When you look at Barack Obama, or John McCain, rather, do you think he represents a cross-section of America, unlike Barack Obama, who when you look at him, you know, or listen to him, you think what Dr. King's words when he said once, God is not interested in the affairs of the black man and the brown man, the yellow man. He's interested in the affairs of the whole human race. Barack Obama seems like he's running to be president of the United States of all of the people. I just don't see that when I look at John McCain, and I've tried.
Hmm. Professor Fott, interesting question.
Right. Well, I think if you look at the proposals that Senator McCain puts forward and the concerns that he has, they're a mixed bag. There is the proposal to extend the current tax cuts, and that seems to benefit the very well-off, unless you're a real believer that all of this will, or a lot of it will trickle down in some way. And yet, the Teddy Roosevelt Republican is also a big part of McCain. That is, using government to attack corruption and greed. I don't think I've ever heard Republican presidential and vice presidential candidates talk so much about attacking the corruption and greed on Wall Street as I have this year. So I guess I can see how the caller has the opinion that he does, but I don't think that John McCain's personality and his background allow him to be the typical Republican candidate. If we get the typical candidate from the candidates of recent presidential election years.
But what about Muhammad's comment that Barack Obama is embracing, and you're seeing this at least in the reflection of faces at the Republican National Convention, the Democratic National Convention, and I'm wondering how it will translate into votes. Obviously, you will have a huge African-American vote for Barack Obama considering the nature of his candidacy. It's just that's just a given. It's understandable. And very emotional for African-Americans. I'm wondering if indeed Muhammad is onto something, that the Republicans are going to need to change the makeup of their party. The Democratic makeup, it has many more minorities in it than the Republican, and the country is becoming more minority. And I think that will be reflected, maybe not, in the turnout and in the votes on November 4th.
Right. And I live in a state with a large and growing Hispanic population. About a quarter of Nevada is Hispanic now. It will be interesting to see how they vote and to what extent they vote. It may well be true that Republicans are losing the Hispanic vote, yet two of the people it's hardest to blame for that are the current president and John McCain, because they have both made the way immigration policy has developed is not how John McCain wanted to see it develop. Mm-hmm. He originally supported something that hardliners call amnesty, and for what appears to be political reasons, he has made his peace with the secure the borders first policy.
Thanks, Muhammad, so much for your call. Dan from La Crosse is next. Hi, Dan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment about some of the previous callers, John McCain's contempt for Obama, and I just never saw that. After the debate, they were hugging each other with their arms around each other when they got in Tom Brokaw's way of his teleprompter. And when he reached across to shake Cindy McCain's hand, John McCain reached up to shake it and then realized he was going for Cindy, and they laughed about it. We got to remember, before, during the primaries, these were the two candidates that were shown to have liked each other the most. So I don't think, after the lights go down, they're still human beings who still have at least respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
and that's what you saw. Fine, Dan. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Pat from Holman. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I was calling just to comment a couple of points. First of all, I do dislike the vilifying that's going on, particularly on the McCain side towards Obama. I just feel like we really don't need this. And in the long run, I think Obama has done a better job, not consistent, but a better job at not demonizing McCain. And in the problems that we have right now, the coming together of both sides, I think, is essential. And this came through, I felt, most clearly in their closing comments that they made. In general, I wouldn't be able to quote any of the lines necessarily, but I felt that Obama's closing comments were a call to bring people together and a call to say, you know, this, we have difficult times, we need to come together and work hard and try to solve this. While I felt that McCain was saying more of a, you know, put it on my shoulders, put it on me, trust me, I can do it. And those two different styles, I feel, kind of talk to two very different directions.
Professor Vaught?
I guess I saw the closing statements a bit differently, in that I saw them as being very similar to each other, very, very autobiographical. Senator Obama said, "This country gave me opportunity. I was raised by a single mom on food stamps," and then he shifted into talking about, over the last 8 years, the country has really suffered. Senator McCain said, "I've spent my whole life serving this country. I had an absent father. I lived in dark times," again, a veiled reference to his POW status. "I believe in this country." I saw the closing statements as being very similar, and neither one answered the question, really, which was a pretty easy question to answer, right? What don't you know, and how will you learn it? If you let your mind work and give some thought to that, you should be able to give a more interesting answer than either one gave.
Mm-hmm.
They went for the safe, set closing speech.
I guess that's what I was looking for last night, is the unexpected answer, the answer that you would remember, because I've seen so much of this, and I didn't hear anything that was
right
unexpected.
Right, right. And that, and if the, if they would be a little more adventurous,
right,
the payoff could be huge, and especially if you believe the polls, Senator McCain needed to do something like that, and he did not do enough of it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about last night's debate this hour of the program, and our guest is Professor David Fott, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. Pat, thank you for your call. We go to Victoria from Appleton next. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been watching the debate since, you know, a few weeks back, and I think last night was the first chance America got to see the real true characters of both Senator Obama and Senator McCain, and including Tom Brokaw. I thought Tom Brokaw was a little bit testy with this time limit, and I can understand that, but he reminded me of a school teacher reprimanding two students. But that aside, I think the ultimate dismissive that Senator McCain gave to Senator Obama, and I don't remember what the reference was, but he went, "And this one," and then swung his arm towards Senator Obama. I found that very, very dismissive. It struck really this feeling that Senator McCain really does have contempt for Senator Obama, putting aside their, you know, hugging each other and everything. I really feel he did have his gloves on. And to say this one to not only a person of color, but to a fellow senator, to me, was just really out there. And I thought the format, I didn't care for the town hall format because I felt they weren't answering the questions of the people there in that setting. But I thought when Tom Brokaw did give them either-or choices on how to respond to something he was bringing up, I liked that. And it to me, the last one about health care being either this really got us to see that Senator Obama really is for the people. He said it is a right. Every American has the right to health care, whereas Mr. McCain said it's a responsibility. And I'll just take my comments off
okay.
the call.
Okay. Thanks Thank very you. Much, Victoria, for the call. Professor Fott?
Yes, there was, on that health care question, there was difference at the end. As Senator McCain said, it's a responsibility, and employers know their responsibilities. And Senator Obama said it's a right, and went on to suggest, to criticize employers and suggest that they don't always know their responsibilities. Well, the evidence might seem to favor Senator Obama on that one, as I think we've all heard stories of employers cutting or reducing health coverage for their employees. So that was a difference that came out. I guess I'm still not sure I see the contempt from McCain to Obama. I don't think I can get inside Senator McCain's head on that. When he used that reference and that one pointing toward Obama, it's possible to take that in different ways. And a mother can say that to a child with affection. Now, granted, that's still a hierarchical relationship, mother and child, but it can be said with affection and without contempt.
Let's go to John from Eagle River. Hi, John.
Maybe for McCain it was a father-child relationship.
Yeah.
anyway,
that too.
A friend of mine coined a clever phrase to describe this election that says, the Straight Talk Express is broken down on the bridge to nowhere, and no one can find it to fix it. anyway, two questions. I was amazed last night. I watched the debate on Fox News and then watched the commentary. And Fox, for the first time, I couldn't believe it. They were saying Obama won, and they were criticizing McCain for his $300 billion mortgage bailout thing, wherever that came from. that just amazed me. And one other question is, I think Obama is against this nuclear waste disposal in Nevada, and McCain is for it. Why haven't we heard anything about that? You're from Nevada.
Yeah, we haven't heard much. John, great to hear you. Thanks for your call. Professor, just about a minute left.
An issue that we don't hear all that much about in Nevada, but believe it or not. We have a very transient population here. A lot of registered voters haven't lived here all that long, and this issue is not uppermost in their minds when they go to the polls to vote for a president. I think a lot of people see this as being still up in the air. It's likely to be, that is Yucca Mountain, it's likely to be in the courts for a long time. What happens in the courts is very unpredictable.
And we're going to be talking about environmental issues, the second hour of our program today, and candidates stand on those, so we'll bring that up. Professor, thank you so much for being with us. It was great fun and very informative. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Happy to be with you.
Professor David Fott, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. I'm Kathleen Dunn, joined in the studio by Rhonda Fanning, and we are here to ask your support for these kinds of conversations on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone lines were filled. Rhonda, I hope that people will then go to another phone line and make a contribution, whatever the amount, just to say, we love your political conversations.
That's right. And that number to call is 888-202-2552. We still have to reach that $3,000 goal this hour, and we have about $2,000 left to raise. Your pledge will help us reach that goal and stay on track financially. So make your pledge now securely online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Think about how valuable the conversations have been to you as you prepare for this very important election. Think about the broadcasts they were highlight for us that we did from Dubuque, and we're doing another voter forum from Marquette University coming up in just a couple weeks. And virtually every day or every other day for a long time now, we've had rip-roaring great conversations, and you've had a chance to interact with us. It doesn't happen anywhere else on the dial. Please make a pledge and help us reach our goal of $3,000. We ought to be able to do that this hour online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552. Please call now.
You mentioned having access to the guests. When was the last time you were able to pick up the phone and talk to Bob Schieffer and give him a sample question of what you would like to have
That's
him
right.
ask?
That was a great
and
time.
And he's going to be the one to ask them. You don't get that very many other places. Wisconsin Public Radio provides that access to you each and every day. So what is having access to guests like this and the information they provide worth to you? Think about that and then make your pledge online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network, you hear substantial issues and serious topics, sometimes controversial discussions. And we don't patronize you by assuming that all you can handle is just a very shallow headline. We have substantive conversations that go an hour, and we know that you want that kind of programming, and we try to deliver that to you day after day after day.
It's right. And to keep this kind of programming on the air, we need your donation of support. We count on it. We need it. Go to our secure website at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552 so we can keep bringing you this type of programming each and every day.
You learn about so much. Rhonda mentioned Bob Schieffer. That's true. He will be I think he'll be a great moderator, too. He may be one of the better moderators in next week's debate. You know that we're going to be covering next week's debate. You know that we have been providing coverage, radio coverage of all of the debates. And we've looked at the conventions, and we've just done such a thorough job. If you agree with that, and I know many of you do because you call us in huge numbers during these discussions, please call with your pledge for political programming that you hear. It's one of the things that Rhonda and I love, and we know that you do as well. So please call now with your pledge of support for what we do here when it comes to politics. 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552.
It also costs money to get the special programming coverage from NPR.
That's
last
right.
night's debate, I had a call last night from a woman who was frantic. It was about 6 o'clock. She was going to be on the road during the debate, and she was asked if WPR was going to be having live coverage from NPR, and I told her that it was okay. She was going to be able to hear the debate in her car, and she was so thankful. Those kinds of things cost money. We need your support. We come on the air. We ask for it. Not very often, but right now we do. It's time to pledge. If you haven't made a pledge yet this drive, do it now, this hour, at 888-202-2552 or go to our website at WPR.org.
We have a goal, as Rhonda was saying, of $3,000. We need to move it up a bit, and we ought to be able to make $3,000. I know we will if you call us right now. $1,175 is where we are. The goal is $3,000, and it means a great deal for you to call right now, make your pledge online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552 in appreciation for all that's been done and with the knowledge that we'll give you our very best in the months ahead and in the weeks ahead as we get ready to vote on the 4th of November.
That's right. When you go online to WPR.org or call 888-202-252, you'll be adding your voice to the more than 40,000 current members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. So please, if you are an existing member, call and pledge your support. Or if you're a new member, call for the first time. It's quick. It's easy. It'll only take a few minutes.
And thanks very much, Rhonda, for producing this program and for your help. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges, too. So many of you have pledged, and we thank you so that we can keep doing what we do. Thanks to Katie Madsen for on-air production. We have news coming up. Think of the news you hear every day. It's fabulous. And pledge for the news. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.